all, gentlemen, I think if James Earl Ray will please stand at this time. You're represented at this hearing, Mr. Ray, by your privately employed attorneys, Mr. Richard Ryan of Memphis Bar, Mr. J.B. Stoner, and Mr. Hill, Mr. Clarence Hill of the Chattanooga Bar. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, you may be seated. That's it.
Robert,
excuse me, Mr. Hill. Robert Hill. All right, gentlemen, now, you had a motion. First of all, let me ask the defense in the cases, in this case, rather, the motions that you have filed, I gather, from the various letters and amendments, that you intend them to be a motion for new trial. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
All right. Thanks. Now, you had another matter that you wanted to ask the court at this time. Is that correct, gentlemen?
Right, Your Honor, please court. On the motion for a new trial, the defendant would like to, on the first page of the amended and supplemental motion for a new trial, in the second unnumbered paragraph, after the word that in the second line, and before the words he said waiver, beginning there, we'd like to strike the rest of that paragraph. For further complete support, the defendant would like to strike and withdraw paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right, any objections to that from the state? Right.
We have no objections.
Please, sir. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this case, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, except for God?
I do.
Have a seat, please.
You say your name in court, please?
J. Blackwell.
And by whom are you employed, Mr. Blackwell?
Shelby County.
And what position do you occupy? Maybe I should have said, what position do you occupy with the Shelby County government?
The criminal court clerks of Shelby County.
And how long have you been a criminal court clerk, Blackwell?
It's my 17th year.
Is that an elective office, Mr. Blackwell?
It is.
And how many times have you enjoyed being elected to that position, sir?
For four-year terms.
The duties of your office are what in substance, Mr. Blackwell?
Maintain and keep the records and follow the instructions of the court as to settlement of the criminal cases and the handling of all the indictments.
Blackwell, I believe you had some additional duties this court reporter placed upon you by law. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And do you maintain those duties also in your position as clerk?
Through a contract with the state of Tennessee.
That recording system is what is evident in the court, wire recordings, Mr. Blackwell.
That's correct.
All right, now, Mr. Blackwell, I'm going to ask you if, pursuant to our instructions, Attorney General, did you bring certain records of the criminal court with you?
I did.
And those records are what?
The minutes of the courts, and also the verbatim transcript of the court records.
All right, now, Mr. Blackwell, I'm going to direct your attention to the minutes of Division 3 of our criminal court, Court B.
This one on this, yes, sir.
This is going into a matter of facts. These facts were heard by Judge Donald. And unfortunately, because of his death, there's no one to actually hear and rule on these. Because we in no way situated it took. In fact, there has to be a bill of exceptions filed, and there's no one to sign the bill of exceptions. And as a result, evidence that is to be brought in is perhaps perhaps circumventing the argument for a new trial. And I think it's very prejudicial. And on top of that, it's improper because, as I said, the statute in Tennessee, of course, about the new trial, and also the general law that court cannot go in to the net of anything else of the previous court, unless the court that let Judge Battle were here, unless the presiding judge were able to go
back. I'm not familiar with that law, Mr. Hill. Now, these minutes, from my understanding, the records of this court, if they're signed by the judge of this court, Judge Battle, who presided over the case at the last hearing, then a court in this state speaks to its minutes. And that is the highest degree of evidence that you can possibly have, according to Howard versus State.
Yes, sir, and of course also the bill of exceptions, which if there's a new trial, are both equally as important.
Well, now, of course, a bill of exception is something that we haven't reached yet, Mr. Kidd.
Well, it's our contention, Your Honor, that the fact that we are requiring this, and this is what the trial is for, this makes the bill of exceptions and the minutes into one objection.
Let me make this statement now to get the hearing off possibly on the right track. You have filed what you allege to be a motion for new trial as amended. This court does not take knowledge that that's a motion for new trial. It doesn't take knowledge that that's a petition for writ of habeas corpus, or that it's a petition under the Post-Conviction Act. The minutes of the court show otherwise. The elements of a petition for writ of habeas corpus are not present in your petitions as amended. The elements necessary under the Post-Conviction Act are not incorporated in your petition. Consequently, the court can't hear it on those bases. The motion motion to strike has been made under the statute that you allege in your motion, Tennessee Code Annotated Section 17-117, it's necessary, in this court's opinion, for you to file what you allege to be a motion for new trial to test that statute. The court's of the opinion it can do this. It can just not rule on that, what you allege to be a motion for new trial, and have a writ of mandamus issued ordering it to rule if that's what should be done. However, I don't believe that's the proper way. I believe the proper way for this court to handle this matter is to proceed on this motion to strike that the state has filed, and in order to rule according to the law, it will be necessary for the court to determine whether or not this guilty plea that is alleged in the motion to strike and the waiver of motion for new trial and appeal in the motion to strike and memorandum, it's necessary under the law, it appears, to the court to determine whether or not they were freely and voluntarily given. If your client's contention is that it was not, they were not freely and voluntarily given.
Your Honor, it's my contention that under the law, there's only one person who could have decided that, and that's the deceased judge.
It appears to me that under Owens versus State, the Court of Criminal Appeals rendered decision just several, I believe you cited it in your brief, if I'm not mistaken, though somebody did, it wasn't the State, rendered an opinion that a guilty plea is open to a hearing, evidentiary hearing at any time, by any court.
If that is what is brought before the court, but in this is a motion for a new trial.
Well, that's what you alleged to be, but the court doesn't take it.